Romans chapter 10. So we're going to be talking about being fixed on freedom and where the Spirit of the Lord is. That's where the freedom is. We're going to talk about all that. We'll tie it all in together. And let me get with you here. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to jump right in the middle of the chapter, and then I'll kind of back up and tell you what it's about. I'd like to just kind of, boom, just get out there. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we proclaim. Word of faith. Here's the deal. Nothing can change in your life or in the kingdom of God if you don't have faith. That's how everything works. I'm just going to drop that in your spirit. Let it marinate a little bit. Faith. And I can give you a definition, or you can look it up. It's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and the evidence of things not seen. So you can't see it, Tina. But you know it's there because you can actually feel, if you're born again, you can actually feel the Spirit of God in your life. What used to be your conscience, inherent knowledge of right and wrong, now is replaced by the power, the Spirit man, third person of the Trinity, living inside of you and gets you to take this morality thing just a little bit further and a little bit better. Well, dropping back to Romans 10, verse 1, he says, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." So what he's saying here in the book of Romans, he is talking about God's people. He said, my prayer is that you become saved, the nation of Israel, that you become saved. And you say, well, I thought those were God's chosen people. Those are God's chosen people. But here's the thing. Free will is a very dangerous thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's very dangerous. Freedom is very wonderful. It is also very dangerous. Say, tell me. Here's the deal about freedom. Freedom in Christ is wonderful. Freedom in America is wonderful. But sometimes too much freedom for some people can drive people a little wild. So here's what I said at the service. So here's what I said at the last service. I said, freedom is wild. Freedom is wild. And that's what we're going to study today, the wildness of freedom. So listen to what happens here in verse 9. He says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Watch this now. I'm going to be working on your faith because we believe that where your faith is, God's power will be released. And I got to tell you this, I said this last night, Mike, in the service. When we started our Bible study Tuesday night, we didn't really know where we were going, but we waited for God to lead our direction. So we got back there and we prayed and didn't really necessarily hear God or bells or whistles going off. So we prayed more and then we prayed again and then got on our knees and prayed and things started. If you know what I'm talking about, it's just say amen. Things started to kind of come together when we pushed our agenda aside and we were ready for God's revelation to come into our life. God set up shop in that Bible study. God will set up shop in your life if you allow him to, but you have free will. If you don't want to, then that's your decision. You're an adult. You can decide however you need to decide. You don't need anybody to decide for you. Watch this. For the scripture says, everyone, and I'm in 11, who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction. Say no distinction. We think that some people are better than other people. Here's the deal. Look at me. No, you're not. God's only got one race. It's the human race. So yeah, no one's better than like it. I know we're very fond of ourselves. And God, just speak for the guys, because guys just really believe that we like operate like on a different plane than everybody else. My wife will tell you this. We're riding home from the farm yesterday, and she's like, you know what? You just didn't listen to me, did you? And I go, yep, you're right. We pretty much didn't listen to you again. Amen. So this is a global thing. Guys do what they want to do. Human beings do what they want to do because they like celebrating life, or they like celebrating freedom, or that thing that God has given. You wanna kind of celebrate it. And I told you it's a cool thing. And Barb did tell me today that today is National Ice Cream Day. Hip, hip, hooray. I'm going to celebrate. I'm being honest with you. We're going to celebrate tonight. Isn't that when you're really square is when you're celebrating going to the ice cream shop? You go, is that the highlight of his life? It pretty much is. It really is. Amen? When you get gray hair, you officially are not cool anymore, so that's it. So there's, all right, verse 13, let's move along. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then? And I did this Saturday night. I did this last night. I said, who wants to be saved? We had a few hands go up, and God intervened, and God was present, and God was working. So how will they call on him in whom they shall not believe? And how are they to believe in him if they've never heard? So I'm putting this on you. I'm not just the only preacher in the world. You are as well. And sometimes you'll have to use your voice. And you say, well, what were you talking about the other way? Sometimes preacher ain't got to say a word, Jimmy. All he's got to do is just walk it out. Sometimes moms and dads don't have to say a word. All they got to do is walk it out. You see how my daddy walks. You see how my mommy walks. You see how my grandma and grandpa walk. They're preaching a sermon to me by what they do and what they don't do is what I'm saying. Amen? Your grandpa preached a message to you with his hands. You could look at his hands when he was sitting on the front porch, and you could see that they were weathered, and what the message was is hard work still works. And he said, hard work still works. It hasn't gone out of style anywhere. So he's talking about preaching, verse 15. We got two verses. It says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? So I'm sending you out in the name of Jesus today. If you got anything left in the tank, share it with the world today. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what we have heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So every time you hear the word of God, your faith gets a little stronger. Just like the opposite would be, the more bad news you hear, the worse things get, not only in your life, but the life of everyone around you. Actually, people can drain and suck faith out of you by being consumed with worldly things and negativity. Amen. And it starts like this. You'll never be healed. You're not going to be healed. Your marriage is never going to be anything. You're never going to get off of drugs. You're never going to get off of alcohol. If anybody ever says that to you, what you need to do is go, you know what, man? I need to get away from you. That's what I need to do. And here, you don't have to be mean or get all nasty with anybody, but here's the deal. You control your climate. Amen. You control your climate. Let's be honest, man. It's time to dial it down to Coolville again. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just pray that as it heats up out there here in America, Lord God, in July, we know it's hot outside, but hell's hotter. Lord, we know, Lord God, that we need a Savior, and you sent him. His name is Jesus. And we ask, Lord God, for a fresh anointing. Church, say it, anointing, anointing, anointing. We are anointing on this service. for my friends that are here and on live stream. Bless the offering as it is picked up, that it would be multiplied, that it would be used for you and your kingdom. The hands that give would be blessed, and that it multiplies in the basket for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So applaud, and the offering will be picked up. I'm going to paraphrase 2 Corinthians 3:17 as Ms. Rubel puts it up. It talks about where the Lord is, the Spirit will be. The Spirit of the Lord, and then there's going to be freedom there. So the Spirit of the Lord is where the freedom is. So that's what we're trying to get to. And I'm going to lead you in three places in the Bible today in the New Testament where you see these people's faith working and God's power being released in there. And we're starting in Luke 17:19. That's where we're starting. We're going to talk about these people's faith, and then we're going to pray that God increases your faith today. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing. I'm in 17:11 in Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was in Samaria. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go." What does it say, class? "Your faith has made you well." Say that with me. "Your faith has made you well." One more time. "Your faith has made you well." So some of you have come in and you go, "You know what, man, I don't have much faith in this relationship thing, and my tomatoes aren't growing, and I'll tell you what, I'm broke as a joke. The rent's due, electric shut off, and all that kind of stuff, and marriage is bad, and I'll tell you what, I don't really like the world." And somebody told me, I didn't know this, Mike, somebody told me before I went to preach in North, they couldn't stand my voice. I thought, man, that's a new one. I haven't heard that one. A lot of people don't like me for certain reasons, but I didn't know the voice, is it too bassy, or what is it? So we dream up reasons why we don't like people, but I'm glad that one came up because I'm going to get some voice coach lessons and change my voice a little bit because that's my goal, is to appease everyone. But then when I change it and my voice gets a little higher, people are going like, "Man, dude, your man card's getting jerked. That doesn't sound very manly." And I don't know why they don't like you guys. I'll just be honest. Probably because you go to my church, I guess. I don't know. Amen? Did you know there's people out there that don't like me? I feel like I'm a pretty likable guy. Anyways, I don't know why I'm always, it's like a soap opera up here, isn't it? So your faith has made you well. So I'm working more on faith than I am worried trying to please everybody. I want to work on a little bit more of a sacrificial lifestyle where I'm sacrificing a little more and I'm serving a little more and for the noble cause of Christ and freedom. Can I tell you, I'm going to tell you this story. So today I was in my deacons and pastors meeting and I showed them a multi-part documentary on a gentleman named Patrick Tillman. Now, some of you guys may not know Pat Tillman. He was a former NFL football star and played at Arizona State. He was just an outstanding star and all this kind of thing. And they read his resume. The guy's a warrior. He was courageous. He was sacrificial. He was over the top and all that and great football. But hit hard and was there early and stayed late and all that. But you know what even made him more appealing to me? He was a patriot. Let me say it in a church where they understand. He was a patriot. He seen back on 9/11, and if you need to watch this, it'll make the hair on your arm stand up. He said, you know what? We're playing this game. And he goes, it doesn't mean anything. And his agent was trying to sign him to a new deal. He said, you can go for the Rams. They're going to pay you $9-point-something million. Back then, that's when it was a lot of money. Now that's what some people are getting to swing a bat. That's a whole other subject I'm not going to get into. He said, if you sign here, you'll be set for life. This was back in the, quite a while ago, 20 years ago or so. He said, man, he said, no, he said, I'm gonna stay here. I'm gonna stay with the Cardinals, and I'm loyal to these guys. These guys got me, and I'm being loyal. So words like that were starting to get thrown around again. It was loyalty and honor and valor and standing for the flag and all that. And so what he did is he left the Cardinals and he signed up to be an Army Ranger. Him and his brother. He left the fame and fortune. In honor, and he went off into the war, and then you guys know later that he was killed. And then every once in a while you'll hear people talk about Pat Tillman stories. Man, I'm gonna tell you what, that dude's a warrior. He's a warrior. I can get down with guys that are ready to put it on the line. And in honor and things like this. And I was asking the deacons and the pastors this morning, I said, what's the common thread that runs through this man's life? And they said, sacrifice. That's what the world needs today, is men that are going to sacrifice their time, men that are going to sacrifice their comfort, men that are going to sacrifice all this so we can teach these principles to a lost and dying world. Amen. So this next story about talking about faith being faith-filled and God's presence being released and his power being released here is out of Mark chapter 10, and it's a story about blind Bartimaeus. I'm just going to tell the story, and you can turn there, and the catch there is 10:52. Blind Bartimaeus is there, and Jesus is coming by and all this kind of thing, and he's waiting to be healed, and he said that Jesus is coming out, or Jesus is going by, and he calls out to Jesus. He said, Jesus, Son of David. He's identifying him by calling him Son of David, knowing that the Messiah would come from the lineage of King David. That's what that means. He's putting his faith, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped right there, and he said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want my sight. He said, go, your faith has made you whole. Go, your faith has made you whole. So right there, we're blind Bartimaeus, and you go, well, what was so big, what was so faith-filled about what blind Bartimaeus did? When Jesus called him, he jumped up. Hold on, you didn't get it, or you'd have said something. See, the church is waiting for God to do something miraculous, and I need lightning, and I need my bank account filled up, and if you really want me to be at church, have me a golden carriage there with somebody to usher me there, and all these things. God's not going to do any of that. God's done everything he's going to do. It's your turn to move. So when blind Bartimaeus was called, he jumped up. And here's what's happening in the church right now. And everybody said, well, I can't really jump up too much anymore. Here's what God's wanting you to do. He's wanting you to, when Jesus calls you, move a toe. Blink an eyelash. Jesus is waiting for some sign that you still got a little bit of faith left in you. Just anything. And then when he sees that, then he reacts. See, Jesus has already made a step. He's waiting for you to make the next one. Amen. And then here's the last story, and this is the big story of the day. It's the lady with the issue of blood, and you've heard about it before. Let's jump right into 5:24, and then we'll go back and talk about what this whole chapter is about. But it's about God's power being released in the area of faith. And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. So here we are in Mark 5:24. Okay, so I jumped right in the middle of this chapter. What's going on? So this is where Jesus is casting. He's up here and he's casting out demons out of a possessed man. There's a lot going on back in these days, just like there is today. Demon-possessed people, and he's going to cast them out, and he's going to put them in these pigs. And then on the way, as he's walking, this lady with the issue of blood. Now, I want you to listen to every word that I say here, because it's going to come out of the Bible. So verse 25 says, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. So this woman had this discharge of blood for 12 years. And I don't know about you, how long you guys have been struggling with your issue. 1 year, 6 months, 6 minutes, you're waiting for God to heal you. You're waiting for God to heal you. This woman went on for 12 years. And I just would have to believe that she had a bunch of friends that just chimed in. It's Debbie and Donnie Doomsday. Oh, girl, you're never going to be healed of this. I had a girlfriend, and I'll tell you what, she was just miserable all the way to her grave. Let me tell you something, church, you don't need friends like that. You don't need friends like that. If somebody's dropping that in my spirit, I'm moving on. If they're telling you, hey, that's the way you're going to be for the rest of your life, is you're going to be busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted, I need to get another group of friends. I want some friends that are going to pray that me and my family are on the come up. I want them to stand with me and go, you know what? God can heal you that right there. But he's wanting you to, you got to meet him with a little bit of faith. And I'm going to call on your faith here in a minute. Let's take it a step further. So she had this issue, Carl, of blood for 12 years, and she suffered much under physicians. And this ain't a slam on physicians. I think there's a lot of great physicians out there, but they ain't the final word on all sickness and disease. Can I get a witness in the house? They ain't the final authority on sickness and disease. God is. Well, we've been consulting with the experts on this one here. Have you? Have you consulted with God? Well, no. We need to consult with God right now. We need to consult with God on what's going on in this world. We need to consult with God on this deal. Because what we need is God's presence and God's power in every area of our life. Not just some areas, some that you allow him in. God wants to be God over everything in your life. Not just part-time God like you're dating him or you're tipping him. We're called as to be the bride of Christ. You're supposed to be married to Christ. Amen. Just like I'm married to my wife, I ain't tipping my wife, I ain't dating my wife, I'm married to my wife. We're one in Jesus Christ, amen. We're one. I ain't dating, I ain't tipping anymore. I'm all in on the deal. We'll move on. So she's, and then what does it say? It said it didn't get any better, but it grew worse. And you know what it looks like because they got you in hysteria. You visit the mirror more than twice a day on that thing. And if you can't see it, you want that friend to look at it again. Would you look at this on my shoulder for just a second? I never did understand. And you know what that friend is going to say. Especially if they ain't a Christian. They're going to look at that shoulder. It's always a mole. Well, girl, I think that thing's growing. It looks a little red around there. Is it infected? How are you feeling? Do you have a fever? People can talk you into a fever. I'll applaud like you mean it. They'll talk you right into it. We're going to take your temp. What was my temperature? I walked in a certain ballpark the other day. I was playing softball, and the young man had a plastic gun with a laser on it. He was taking my temperature. And I thought, well, what am I going to do if my temperature, I didn't know what the golden number was where I could enter the gates of softball land. But I thought, if it gets too high, Carl, here's what I would say. I'm just on fire for the Lord. drink a cup of coffee and get with me. So the physicians are in on this deal, and she spent all she had, but it grew worse. And she had heard the reports about Jesus. She heard the reports about Jesus just like you did, just like your family has, just like the world. We've heard reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Touched it right there. Hold on, we got to figure out what this is about. And what I'll ask you to do is I'll ask you to rise up with me, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase and kind of put it in some Pastor Pat words for you. I think it'll be fitting here, and I think it will be honor the Lord here. So if you're reading the King James Version right now here at Nature Boy, what it would say is that they were caught up in the press, is what King James would say. So in the crowd, you know, he's going to cast out demons, and the lady with the issue of blood's there, and there's all kinds of people bumping into Jesus. And I think sometimes as Christians, we think like if we go to church, we can become a Christian. Coming to this church building isn't going to make you a Christian any more than you standing in your garage is going to make you a car. You can stand in there all day and wish you are, and here you'll have an identity issue. You'll think you're a car when you come out. You go, you know what, man, I'm a Ford F-350, and I'll look at it and go, no, you're not. You might think it in your mind. You go, oh, yeah, I am. I want you to treat me like a truck. So here's the deal. So all the people around there, And they're bumping into Jesus. They are. They're bumping into Jesus. And a lot of times we want just like bump into Jesus. Don't want to spend too much time in prayer because you know how I am, Lacey. I'm pretty busy. A lot of time. Can't give you a lot. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to work out a deal with God. I can give you a little bit of time, but not too much. That's bumping into Jesus. They're all in the crowd. They're in the press. Jesus knows when somebody's bumping into him. Let's be honest, he's God. Amen. Right? You say, well, Pastor, why would everybody in the area? A lot of times people do that. They want to get God out there and like a little chess piece. We'll move him around. Well, if God's really real, why don't God get right in the middle of all this thing right here and just heal everybody? Here's your answer today. So you can answer all your Facebook friends and your sidewalk psychologists that you deal with. They bumped into Jesus. They didn't have faith in Jesus. You say, well, what does that mean? I'll put it the same way you do with your kids. High five with my kids don't work. I high five a lot of people in church. But high fives with my children and my grandchildren, that don't work. I want to hug my children. And I want to hug my grandchildren. Don't give me high five. High five don't work with Grandpa. I'm the crazy dad. When my son had his senior football game, I was the crazy dad who walked out on the field and kissed my son in front of everybody on his senior football game. Don't give me the handshake. Don't give me, if you're my child, don't give me the handshake. I told you before, I'm the grandpa who goes down to the dugout. Oh, Grandpa, they don't want you down by the dugout. You know where I'm going. Do you know why I do that? Because I want that boy that's in that dugout to know that his grandpa's here. Don't give me this out here. You don't travel all that way and give your kid like a little wave or something up in here. That Jesus don't want you just bumping into him. Go, I bumped into him, Tom. He should heal me. He ought to heal me. You ain't got nothing in the game. You're bumping into him. Jesus wants to see somebody who's going to show up with some kind of faith. Something, some kind of faith. Just anything. Show me something. Move an eyelash, move a toe. Just something. And then that's what that woman did. She said, if I could just touch his garment, I could be made whole. And do you know what it took for that woman to walk across town with her issue and go through this colony of people and want to reach out just to grab the hem of his garment? Or she knew that there was healing power in Jesus, and she had to get to him. I've said this for years and years. It's one of my favorite stories. Faith is what drove that woman through town. And after 12 years of being around the wrong people and physicians and broke, she said, I know he has got to be able to heal me of this sickness. And then he ends the story with this. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. That's in red letters. So hold on for a second. Let's stop for a second. I just visited three places where your faith has healed you. That's where God's power got released. You go, man, that's a heck of a stretch, Pastor. I'm glad that you said it, and I want to believe it. But I need help. That's why God sent the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you will, you can be healed. So today I'm going to ask you to call on your faith. And I want you to close your eyes. And here's where I want you to go in your spirit, man. Well, first of all, if you've never been born again, you need to give your life to Jesus. That's the first thing you need to do. So you can call on him. How about this? Oh, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And as many people as I visited, and I was visiting some friends last night, and they said, man, we really want to make sure our kids know that they can only be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's not through works. So don't come in church thinking you got to join the church or do some works to get saved. You ask Jesus to save your soul. Ask him that. Now back to the faith. Mustard seed size, thimble full size of faith. Do you have that? Look at it in the spiritual realm. Do you have a thimble full size of faith in your tank right now? If you do, I just want you to raise your hand. And then what we're going to do is we're going to call on the creator of the world to meet you there and heal you of your situation. Now, you can do that here. You can do it at the altar, wherever you want to. And you just kind of mumble to him what your situation is. He already knows it, but he just wants to see if you're gonna confess it. So I'm dealing with this, Lord. Right there. All right. Right there. And then what we're going to do is we're going to ask God to release his power in that area right now. So pray with me today as your hands stretch out. Father God. The brothers and sisters that are in this building, they got children, grandchildren, they got jobs, they got real estate, they got electric and gas and pain and suffering and things and stuff and you that we can't even imagine. I'm asking you, Father God, not on my behalf, woo, but on behalf of your Son. His name is Jesus. His title's the Christ, the anointed one, the appointed one, the chosen one. He can save you and heal you. Ask him today. Oh, God, show up in this area. You know, I believe it when the Bible says you have not because you've asked not. So today what I want you to do is I want you to ask God. Right there, right where you're at. Just ask him right where you're at. I'm gonna ask for with you. Lord God, you hear, you see their hands raised. You see them. And I'm asking that you heal them. Here and now. In thy name of Jesus. And his people said, amen.